Tom spent most of the day in bed, the blankets pulled up under his chin as he stared at the wall. It was far too warm in the room for the heavy duvet, but he was unwilling to give it up, no matter how uncomfortable he felt. It was childish to think that nothing could get him if he just stayed covered up, but no matter how hard he tried, he wasn't able to make his fingers let go. He wasn't surprised when his blanket shield didn't work. After all, the things bothering Tom were in his head. No blanket could keep that away. I had my bags packed. The words were still replaying in his mind, the echo loud and uncomfortable. He'd never confided that piece of information to anyone before. Why did it have to be Ryan? Tom could still see the look of shock on the boy's face, the unsteady way that he stood there, shifting his weight from foot to foot. Ryan had probably wondered if he should apologize for being such a dick, but Tom wasn't about to make anything easy on him. Truth was, the kid had shocked him too, with the angry, dangerous way he'd fought back. Tom had figured he'd take a swing. Most people did, it was a gut reaction. No. Ryan had a brain in his head. He knew the best way to hurt someone. Tom thought back to the knowing look Ryan had given him in the hallway and pulled his blanket a little closer. Maybe the kid belonged here then. He'd been quick to defend the vampire. The fuck you will. So much loyalty. What had Brendan done to deserve it? No matter what Tom did, he kept coming back to the fact that Ryan was smart. So very smart. And he didn't act like someone who'd been mind-fucked. Tom had seen his share of mesmerism in action. He'd watched Mike closely during their time together. And he'd even had opportunity to wonder while he was away. To watch as protests gradually fell apart and things happened the way he wanted them to. It was nothing huge, or even all that unexplainable, if he'd cared enough to find a rational explanation. But how often had he stopped and asked himself what was going on? How often had he been desperate enough to keep to himself, to keep his secrets to himself, only for some nosy classmate to suddenly stop pushing? At the time, he tried to avoid thinking about it too closely, but maybe it made sense. Did you know that I have visions? Ryan was marked. Is that why? No one had ever explained that as a possibility to Tom before. Just that his sight might get sharper, or his hearing a little clearer. Of course, Tom had been marked more than once. Was this the side effect? He didn't know. He tried to sleep again, but found that it was no use. He dozed off and on for most of the day, and now his body was wide awake. He scowled at the wall, shuffling around on the bed, trying to find a comfortable position. Moving around helped give him something else to do for a few minutes, but once he was settled again, on his other side this time, facing the bedroom door, Tom was once again left with nothing to do. Nothing to think about besides Ryan's sad eyes and a story that Tom hadn't ever told anyone. It was so hard at first. School, a job, being by myself. I didn't have any friends because I couldn't risk it. I missed my grandmother. But you did risk it, Ryan said. He stayed where he was, at the foot of the bed. Tom was glad for that. The last thing he wanted was for Ryan to do something stupid like touch him. Yeah, well, Tom laughed bitterly, the sound nearly sticking in his throat. I guess I'm an asshole. Not that it mattered. He was one of them, the whole time. Ryan hadn't tried to comfort him, hadn't told Tom about how not all dandies were evil, how some of them had actual feelings, blah, blah, blah. Tom supposed Ryan saved his platitudes for Spencer. That at least would make sense. Tom wondered how long it would take for the gossip to spread around the house. He wasn't very confident in Ryan's secret-keeping abilities, and that made him feel like even more of an idiot. What kind of judge of character was he? First Mike, then Alex, now Ryan? Maybe Briar was right, and Tom was too damn stupid to live long. With a sigh, Tom slowly peeled his fingers away from the edge of the blanket and drew it back. He shivered a little as the cooler air of the room hit his overheated skin, but it felt nice. He lay there for several minutes, hands pressed flat against his stomach, and made himself take deep, even breaths. He could do this. He could. Tom sat up and swung his legs over the side of the bed. Standing up took another moment, but he forced himself to do it. A pair of jeans and a t-shirt were folded on the chair near the bedroom door, both items taken from the bag he'd packed so long ago. Wait, was it only a few days? Tom was shocked to realize it. He couldn't even remember if he'd brought his bag back to the manor with him. The thought of someone going back for it was a strange one. He pulled on the new clothes, leaving his old ones in a heap on the floor. Christ, he'd been wearing the same shit for days. It should probably be burned instead of washed. The well-worn cloth felt nice against his skin, even though he should have showered first. It wasn't important, he thought. He could do it later. It was after sundown, and no one had disturbed him. Tom didn't quite know what that meant, but he didn't think it could possibly be good. The door to the suite was unlocked and partially ajar. Tom pushed it open and stepped out into the hallway, trying to ignore the humans who were talking quietly in the corner near his door. He couldn't help but hear part of their conversation as he hurried away. "All four of them are dead," a wide-eyed girl said. "But so far, no sign of Greta." "Nate? Or Michael?" a young boy asked, voice barely above a whisper. "Nothing, but then, it's not like there would be," the girl replied. Tom didn't hear the boy's reaction to that. At first, he thought the increased tension in the house was because of the dead humans. Two were house staff. One of them, the girl with no name, Tom learned. Two had been marked, in line to be turned. Anger was understandable. Property had gone missing, was being destroyed. It was like the time some clumsy fuck had knocked his camera to the ground. Tom had been plenty angry about that. He pulled on the hem of his t-shirt and made his way down the stairs. The foyer was crowded, so he headed for the corridor on the left, heading away from the kitchen. Maybe he'd find a quiet corner there. If not, he could always try for under the stairs. He didn't even bother trying the music room again. Tom made his way past several closed doors, not paying them any attention. Instead, he kept his eyes on the end of the hallway, moving closer until he was finally sliding down the wall to curl up in the corner. His eyes had just fallen closed when he heard voices coming from one of the nearby rooms. "We all want revenge, Sean. You're not unique in that." It was Brendan. Tom would know his voice anywhere. He grit his teeth and tried not to picture what he told Ryan to do. His fingers twitched a little, as though tightening around the stake he'd threatened to make. "You're not listening," Sean hissed. "Yes, I am," Brendan said sharply. "Your boy is gone. They killed him and he was a good kid. A smart fucking kid who didn't deserve to end up in an alleyway." "Not any alleyway," Sean said. "The one I hunted most nights. They killed him and left him there for me to find. He sounded sad, Tom thought. Almost lost. What an act. He was momentarily distracted by the muffled sounds of clothing against clothing, low words too quiet for him to make out. Tom's mind immediately went to thoughts of comfort. The dandies he knew liked to touch. Was Brendan trying to make Sean feel better? Tom had no frame of reference for that. I wanted to keep him. It was said softly, almost bitterly. I know, Brendan replied. The door was opening then, the two vampires stepping out into the hallway, not at all surprised to see Tom sitting there. He didn't even try to pretend that he hadn't been eavesdropping. You shouldn't even be here, Sean said, stepping closer to Tom. Brendan moved forward too, the grimace on his face clearly saying that the vampire didn't like having to put himself between Tom and his friend. Carden should have killed you as soon as you came back, Sean said. Lord knows Schechter should have done it the second he saw you. Sean, Brendan said, his voice low, warning. No, Sean said, turning a glare toward Brendan before he went back to staring Tom down. Everyone's so fucking afraid of the seer that they're letting him break the rules. They're letting this kid break the rules. It's just like Beckett, Sean spit. Watch your mouth, Brendan said, moving closer, crowding into Sean's personal space. You don't know what you're talking about if you're comparing John Walker to William Beckett. No? Sean asked with a laugh. The sound set Tom's teeth on edge. How is what Alex did any different than what Beckett did? Sticky fingers. He takes what doesn't belong to him. There are other circumstances, Brendan began. Sean cut him off. Don't give me that, he said. Schechter's supposed to be so powerful. I guess he didn't see this coming then. Take a walk, Van Vliet, Brendan said, voice hard. His face was twisted into a mask of fury, and Tom found himself pressing closer to the wall. John laughed again, another horrible, bitter sound. Sure, he said easily. I suppose my boy should be put in the ground. It's respectful. Go, Brendan said again. Sean went. I didn't do that for you, Brendan said after a moment. He fixed Tom with an inscrutable look and slipped his hands into his pockets. I didn't think you had, Tom murmured. Schechter. Brendan seemed at a loss for words all of a sudden. You don't mock him, and you don't disrespect him. I've spent time in his house. I know that he doesn't act rashly. So? Tom asked. So, Brendan said, frowning down at Tom. He knew what would happen. Even if he didn't see it, he's smart enough to know. Something was important enough that this didn't matter. I don't know, Tom said. I don't really care either. It still stung, knowing that they'd all used him, lied to him. He'd found a place for himself and it hadn't even been real. Well, you should, Brendan replied. Look at yourself. You're hardly worth keeping like this. Is that supposed to make me react? Tom asked. Yes, Brendan said simply. You can only push him so much, Tom. Eventually you're going to go too far, and not even Carden's pride will be enough to save you. Maybe I don't want to be saved, Tom said, his voice barely above a whisper. Brendan laughed in his face. If that was true, you'd already be dead. There are so many sharp things in the kitchen, and the balconies. A nice swan dive would do it, don't you think? Tom stared up at the vampire in shocked silence. And there's always the wood furniture, Brendan continued. Oh, fucking Ryan, Tom thought. Let me make one thing very clear to you, Tom, Brendan said slowly, kneeling down so he and Tom were at eye level. If you scare him like that again, I will make very sure that you have a terrible accident. I'd think twice before going against Carden, and I'd probably never go against Schechter so openly. But I will keep Ryan safe. Don't threaten to stake him again. Ryan? It took Tom a moment to put it all together. He lied! Ryan had looked Brendan in the face and lied to him. Tom wished he knew why. Carden was good to you before, Brendan continued. And maybe Alex was even better, I don't know. I was young when I last saw him, and I was too wrapped up in the excitement of traveling, the experience of having John Walker's attention, to really care about one single member of that family. But you need to realize that being with us isn't the end of everything. Just the end of my life, Tom said bitterly. Life comes in many different forms, Brendan replied. Did that work on Ryan? No, Brendan smiled. It's not working on me either, Tom informed him. I didn't think it would, Brendan admitted. But here's something that might. While we're busy dealing with your bullshit, we're not taking care of our own people. Do you think those four people would still be alive if you weren't such a distraction? Tom's mouth opened and closed, but no sound came out. Do you know what it's like for us to lose someone? Brendan continued. You think we're pretty heartless, and many of us are, actually. It's not a wrong assessment, I guess. But when it comes to our loved ones, it's unnecessarily cruel to take them from us. All we have is a very long life. We need someone to share it with. Losing that? Well, it's a lot like losing your grandmother, I suppose. Don't! Tom hissed, trying to recoil. He was already flat against the wall and had nowhere to go. Was that a low blow? Brendan asked innocently. You would know, wouldn't you? You've been taking them since you got here. He laughed a little. I guess you fit right in. No. Tom shook his head. End this, Tom. We have enough to deal with these days without adding puppetry to the mix. Send Alex home, make him take Briar with him, and fix this. Tom didn't watch as Brendan walked away. He just wrapped his arms around his knees and hung his head. Tom had no intention of even humoring Brendan. He did his best to block out his words, at one point even pressing his hands to his ears before he realized how stupid that was. After a while, he got to his feet, wandering around the manor and keeping his eyes on the ground. Fucking Brendan, he thought. How dare he tell Tom that this was all his fault? He never asked to be used in this game. Maybe Schechter should have just killed him. It's what Tom had expected, wasn't it? But he'd been so, so relieved when that hadn't happened. I wanted to keep him, Sean said softly, almost bitterly. Tom bit his lip and kept walking, doing his best not to hear the words echoing in his head. I will keep Ryan safe. Stupid Brendan, Tom shook his head angrily. They found Celeste in a dumpster. Christopher, John had called him. Mourning and bitter. Tom pulled at his hair and all but ran up the stairs to the second floor. I have more than one sad little boy in my line. Briar's words about the butcher. Did that explain why he'd been holding so tightly to that fledgling? All we have is a very long life. We need someone to share it with. Brendan again. Tom slammed the door to the suite and leaned against it. This wasn't fair. Fair? What exactly did that mean? With a groan, Tom lurched across the lounge on unsteady feet, heading for the French doors that led out to the balcony. He leaned heavily against the railing, fighting the retching of his stomach, pressing shaking hands to his face. There was someone on the grounds, not far away. Tom's hands came down, and he gripped the railing tightly as he realized who it was. John Walker and Spencer. They were too far away for Tom to hear specifics, but he could make out the low, soothing tone of John's voice. Could see that it was working, given the way Spencer swayed toward him. Gentle hands pushed back the hair in the boy's face, tipping his head to the side for a kiss. The boy threw himself into it, winding himself around John, giving him what he wanted. It was incredibly intimate to watch, and Tom felt dirty for staring at something he wasn't ever meant to see. God, he groaned, turning away and sliding to the ground, the railing digging into his back. What was he thinking? Could he really do this for them? No, not for them, but... We all knew who you were, Tom. How could we not, when you were staying right across the street, in the same building as our servants and our loved ones? And yes, some of us thought you were a fool who should have been sent back home the minute you crossed our border. But some of us admired your bravery. Alex. Even after everything Tom knew, he couldn't just turn his feelings off. He was human. Nothing was ever that easy when you were human, but that didn't mean he didn't love it. Funny how he was about to stop fighting for that. It wasn't easy to get to his feet, to make his way to the bedroom closet. Most of it was filled with Mike's clothes, but he still had a few pieces tucked into the corner. With trembling hands, he pulled them from the hangers and made his way toward the bathroom. He spent a long time in the shower, letting the heat soak into his muscles, the steam clear his head. He stood naked in front of the mirror once he got out, dripping all over the tile floor. Would he look different after? Tom shook his head and reached for a towel, quickly drying his body and rubbing hard at his hair. It wasn't worth contemplating. There were scissors in the cabinet. Tom had never cut his own hair before, but he took his time, trying to work with the contours of his face. He only took an inch off the bottom, careful not to make it too uneven. They could work with it later. It didn't matter. He took out his piercings after that, dropping the small hoops down the drain. His face looked different without them. Younger, somehow. More vulnerable. Turning away from the mirror, Tom got dressed. Trousers, shirt, tie, waistcoat, suit jacket, socks, shoes. He didn't glance at the mirror, didn't care to know what he looked like. He just made his way out of the bathroom and then out of the suite. He didn't allow himself to listen to the murmurs as he went upstairs. It was only stupid humans anyway. No dandies to ruin the surprise. Tom stopped in front of the second door on the right. He knocked hard against the solid oak, nearly gasping at the pain in his knuckles. It wasn't long before the door opened. "What have you done?" Alex asked, shocked as he stared openly with a look of disbelief. "I'm ending this," Tom said. He pushed past the vampire and came into the room, looking around to see if Briar was in the suite. They appeared to be alone, and Tom was grateful for that. The one flaw in his plan had been dealing with the other dandy. "What are you talking about? This doesn't end anything," Alex insisted. His hands opened and closed at his sides, as though he wanted to touch but wasn't sure if it was a good idea. "You need to go home. Things here are... they're bad," he said lamely. "Everyone is so angry. We're going to have a fight on our hands if you stay."
"You little idiot! We're going to have a fight either way," Alex yelled.
He did touch then, reaching out and shaking Tom twice by the shoulders.
"Because you broke the rules," Tom said.
"Yes," Alex exclaimed. "What Schechter did, they could maybe overlook that. He could spin it, say he was keeping you safe for the day that the borders were open again. But what can I say, Tom? I wanted to keep you. You belonged to someone else and I didn't care."
"I wanted to keep him," Sean said softly, almost bitterly.
Tom tried not to think of the similarities.
"What did he see?" Tom asked instead. "There has to be more to it."
"There's always more to it when it comes to him," Alex said, looking a little surprised at how much Tom knew.
"That doesn't mean I'm prepared to share it."
"Even now?" Tom pressed.
"Even now," Alex replied. "I won't give you more than you can handle," he said softly.
His fingers squeezed down on Tom's shoulders before his hands moved up to the boy's neck, cupping his face. He and Tom stared at each other for several long moments, neither saying anything. Finally, Tom reached up and pulled Alex's hands away. The vampire took a small step back at that, but Tom followed him, closing the distance between them once more. Kissing Alex had always been good. Like spending hours searching for the perfect shot, or carefully developing a roll of photos, it was one of those things Tom thought he could do forever without wanting to stop. He didn't take it slow this time. There was no point in kissing him chastely or licking hesitantly at Alex's lips, asking for more. The kiss was deep from the beginning, Tom melting against Alex's body, wrapping his arms tightly around his shoulders. He'd thought about this so much in the first few hours of coming here, but memories really didn't compare to the real thing. Alex, solid against him, skin a little cooler than he remembered, but fingers just as strong as they dug into his back, his waist, the curve of his ass. Tom pulled back to draw in a deep, shaky breath, and then dove right back in. His tongue was careful around Alex's fangs. How had he managed to avoid cutting himself before? Tom pushed the thought away. All that mattered was the way their bodies moved together, the friction, the way Tom's nails kept scraping along Alex's shoulders, his neck, the back of his head. The vampire had him up against the wall in no time, a thigh pressed tightly between Tom's legs. The boy groaned into the kiss, his hands fisting in Alex's hair. He was worried that he would pull some of the strands out, but Alex didn't complain. He just pressed in closer,
hands flat against the small of Tom's back, and let him shudder it out. "Please," Tom said softly, hips working against Alex's. Alex didn't tease, not like he usually did when they were together. Christ, Tom remembered hours spent swearing and begging for Alex to just do something already. He didn't allow himself to think about why Alex was getting right down to it. There was no sense in ruining everything. The dandy didn't seem to care about wrinkling his pants as he got to his knees. He made short work of Tom's belt and the hook closure on his trousers, but took his time with the zipper, easing it down over the hard line of Tom's cock. His trousers pulled at Tom's feet, but when he went to step out of them, he found himself spun around, the side of his face pressed against the wall. "Stay like that," Alex said, his voice gone low, gravelly. Tom nodded, his cheek dragging against the smooth plaster wall. He shivered as Alex grabbed his shirt tails, holding them out of the way with one hand as he spread Tom open with the other. Tom's breath stuttered out as he felt the first swipe of Alex's tongue. They never did this, God, but he'd wanted to. He forced himself to keep breathing, deep breaths that filled his lungs and shuddered out as he focused on what was happening to him. He was partial to broad strokes with the flat of Alex's tongue, but he found he couldn't get enough of quick, fluttering passes or teasing circles. Tom's thoughts might have short-circuited when Alex pushed inside, his hands scrabbling across the wall and hips rolling backwards. "Alex," he moaned. The vampire pulled away, rising quickly to his feet and offering two of his fingers. It wasn't going to be easy that way, but the thought of stopping, even long enough to find something suitable, bothered Tom more than he wanted to admit. He grabbed hold of Alex's hand, holding it between both of his, and opened his mouth. He did what he could to get the fingers wet, knowing that it would go a lot better for him if he did. "Think you can do it?" Alex asked. It was an actual question, Tom could tell. If he said no, Alex wouldn't push him. Tom tugged on Alex's hand, pulled the fingers from his mouth, and nodded. It was slow going at first. Tom willing his body to just relax, Alex doing his best to stay still, even if his best wasn't really all that good. Tom shuddered, pillowing his head against his folded arms, and made a low sound in his throat. Alex took it for the permission it was, rolling his hips forward. It wasn't going to last. There was no way that Tom could hold out. Not once it got good and he found himself moving back to meet each thrust of Alex's hips. He kept hitting that spot, and Alex's hands were so tight on his waist, fingers digging in until it almost hurt. Tom didn't mind. He wanted to remember it, even if it was only for a little while. But he did hope that there wouldn't be any visible marks. It took Tom a moment to realize that Alex was saying something, his lips moving over the back of Tom's neck as he fucked him. It was hard to understand. Alex's voice was pitched too low. But Tom clamped his mouth shut, tried not to breathe too loudly, and focused on Alex's voice. "Not ready to let go." There were two ways to take that, Tom knew. He didn't care if he was deliberately misinterpreting it. "Come on, Alex," he said. "Come on." "Tom." Alex seemed unhappy. Tom could feel the twist of his mouth. "I want it," he moaned. Tom got what he wanted in the end. Alex's hips stuttered, unable to keep to his rhythm. He came soon after, scraping his teeth against the back of Tom's neck, digging his fingers into Tom's sides almost cruelly. One of those hands moved then, wrapping around his dick, bringing him off in quick, tight strokes. Tom came against the wall and didn't care who would have to clean it up. "Damn," he said, wincing a little as Alex pulled away. Tom didn't look at him as he tried to rearrange his clothing. He'd never looked presentable, not when his trousers were wrinkled and he reeked of sweat and sex. But at least he might be able to hurry back to the suite to change without attracting too much attention. Once he was finished fiddling, Tom stood there awkwardly, looking around the room for a moment before finding his courage and turning his gaze to Alex. "This isn't you, Tom," he said, reaching out to tug on Tom's tie. "This should never be you."
"But it will be," Tom said softly. "It was always going to end this way, Alex. It just took me some time to realize that."
It killed him a little to say it.
"I'll find a way around this," Alex insisted. It almost sounded like a promise, but Tom found he was fresh out of hope.
"Don't," he said instead, shaking his head.
"Just go, okay? Tomorrow evening."
"Tomorrow evening," Alex repeated. Tom nodded after a moment and tried to offer up a smile.
"Goodbye," he said.
Alex didn't reply. To say that Briar was annoyed was an understatement. Thanks to Greenwald's near-constant terrible decision-making skills, he was unable to use his suite to avoid not only John Walker's more irritating associates, but also the humans who'd taken up residence in the safe house. Not only that, but the hunting was terrible. Regular humans were good enough for food, but when it came to sport, Briar wanted something more substantial. He didn't know as much about the hunters in this city. His specialty was, understandably, the genealogy of his own city's hunters. But there were some family names that were important enough for Briar to recognize. Iero, Flowers, Toro. The problem was, none of those families would come out and play, so he was stuck with second-rate fare. He thought briefly back to the night before, to watching a hunter being beaten on the ground, to feeling the fight drain out of two hoods as he took their lives for that very slight. If he couldn't hunt the hunters, he'd at least enjoy a verbal sparring. Briar set off for the more run-down side of town, wondering if the evening could still be salvaged. Maybe, if he could find Joseph Truman.
"Joe." Briar shuddered at the common name. So inelegant, so harsh on the ears. Maybe in time that would change, but it wasn't always so. There were a few dandies who chose to go by shortened forms of their given names. Walker, for one. Cardin, when he wasn't using his surname. Mikey. Briar pushed that thought away. Thinking about home wasn't a good idea when he was already weary of this city. He continued walking down the darkened street, thinking about nothing at all. It wasn't long before he realized he was no longer alone. It was a human. Briar could tell that much from the scrape of shoes on pavement. There was also a hint of blood, either a fresh scrape or a slowly healing injury. Briar smiled a little to himself, but didn't look back, opting to continue on his path. The hunter wasn't close enough for Briar to identify him, but the vampire decided to play along for the time being. After all, there wasn't much else to do. The dandy led his stalker clear across town, toying with him by speeding up or slowing down, taking to the rooftops or ducking into random 24-hour businesses. He tired of the game after more than an hour.
You might as well come out, little hunter, Briar called. This has gone on long enough.
He knew who it was well before he could see him. As the boy approached, Briar caught his scent, one he knew well. It was Joe. A small bandage was taped to the side of his head.
What did you do?
Joe demanded. He was angry, his body tense and nearly vibrating, it was so tightly strung. His left arm moved slightly, drawing Briar's attention. He was holding a stake.
How much time do you have? Briar asked with a laugh. I've done many, many things. Can you narrow it down to a decade at least? All hell breaks loose whenever you come to town, Joe insisted. I'm flattered, Briar said, but I still don't know what you're talking about.
Joe let out a frustrated noise and came closer, raising the stake to chest level. He was furious, but there was something about his eyes that made Briar take notice. Desperation. Something had happened.
What did you do? Joe repeated. Who did you piss off?
By coming here? Everyone, Briar repeated. Every dandy and every hood, I would imagine. I did kill two of them last night, all to save you.
I thought it was random, Joe said. It wouldn't be the first time the gangs tried to grab one of us. I would even understand if it was the dandies. We killed an envoy and almost caught Butcher's fledgling, but it's not them, which means it can't be us, do you understand?
Quite frankly, no, Briar said. I have never seen a hunter babble before. It'll make a great story when I go home, but as for right now, Joe, you really need to start making sense.
This last was said assertively, all traces of playfulness disappearing as Briar came a few steps closer. Something was wrong. Gerard's people were in trouble, and Briar had already lost enough credibility on this trip. He wasn't about to lose anything else.
They took Patrick, Joe said, taking a half step backward to keep some distance between himself and the vampire.
The hoods.
How?
Patrick and I were scouting a new safe house. Our other one was compromised. He fixed Briar with an irritated look before continuing.
They must have staked out the likeliest places because someone was waiting.
Did you see who it was?
Briar asked. Joe shook his head and pointed to the bandage taped to his temple.
Then why would you think it was the hoods?
Joe reached into the pocket of his hooded sweatshirt and pulled out a blue bandana.
No one else wears these.
No, they don't, Briar said, keeping his voice neutral.
I just don't get it. The hoods have a short attention span, Joe went on. They never set traps for us before. They'll try something if we cross paths, but elaborate setups? Lying in wait? That's never happened before.
And you think it's my fault?
Briar said after a moment.
Obviously! Joe yelled. You said something to them last night. They took it as a challenge.
I told the truth, Briar said. But that's besides the point, Joe, because it might not even be the hoods who did this. It's easy enough to drop a bandana somewhere.
His tone of voice said clearly what he thought of Joe's detective work.
You are right about one thing, though, he said.
What?
Joe asked suspiciously.
Something is very wrong in this city. Our people are going missing. Humans mostly, but two of the fledglings as well.
A look came over Joe's face then. Recognition, or something very like it.
Share with the rest of the class?
Briar said, making a joke of it, but fixing Joe with a look serious enough to tell the human that it wasn't a request.
"There are rumors," Joe said after a moment. We laughed at first.
"What rumors?"
Briar demanded, emphasizing each word, putting the full force of his impatience behind him.
"A dandy who looked like hell," Joe said, trying to shrug it off. "Clothes a mess and kind of bloody. Hadn't fed for days. He made it down the street before someone got him."
Briar was moving before the boy could even see it. He reached out and grabbed hold of the human's clothes, twisting his fingers in the fabric. The stake clattered across the pavement.
"Where?"
he demanded.
"Eagleside," Joe said, eyes wide and voice barely above a whisper.
Briar smiled.
"Thank you,"
he said. The smile clearly unsettled the boy, but it did what the vampire intended it to. It distracted him, while Briar knocked him out again. Tom thought he was being courteous by putting the aspirin and water on the bedside table. But in truth, he knew that they were too far for the hunter to reach. He'd have to stretch in order to get it, and he would most likely give up if his headache was too bad and moving was too difficult. It was petty, Tom knew, but it was the least he could do. This was the hunter who distracted Briar. Even though Tom had resigned himself to what would happen, he couldn't help but wonder how things would have gone if Briar had something else to occupy his attention. At the very least, maybe Alex wouldn't have felt the need to show up.
"Ugh,"
the boy in the bed moaned, his eyelids fluttering as he came to. Tom sat in the wingback chair and tried to be patient. It wasn't his strong suit.
"Motherfucker," Joe cursed.
"Yeah," Tom replied.
"I get that."
The hunter jerked his head toward Tom, immediately closing his eyes against the pain, pressing his palm to his mouth as his stomach churned. After a moment, Joe opened his eyes again, glaring over at Tom. It took a while before recognition dawned.
"What the fuck, man? You got away!"
Joe exclaimed, as best he was able without hurting his head anymore. He eyed the aspirin and water warily, knowing without trying that it was too far for him.
"Yeah, well,"
Tom said, wondering whether there was anyone in the damn city who didn't already know his story.
"Sometimes you have to think of other people."
Joe went quiet at that. Tom wondered if he was thinking about Patrick, or about how he'd gone to Briar, of all people, for answers, for help. "I'm wasting time," Joe said after a moment. He slowly, so slowly, rolled onto his side and lifted himself into a sitting position. He looked woozy, but he didn't let that deter him from sliding forward, raising his feet on the floor and reaching. He dropped one of the aspirin, but managed to get the other one into his mouth. He downed half the water before wiping his lips on the back of his sleeve.
"Where do you think you're going, exactly?"
Tom asked, curious as Joe got to his feet and lurched toward the door on unsteady legs.
"To find Patrick. Fuck, I haven't even told Peter Andy yet,"
Joe said, gritting his teeth as he finally made it out of the bedroom. Tom got quietly to his feet and followed as Joe crossed the lounge, heading for the French doors, still open from when Alex aired out the suite. Tom tried not to think about it, focusing instead on Joe as he leaned heavily on the blackout curtains, resting for a moment. When he caught his breath again, he took a step forward and moved onto the balcony. Or he would have, if he had been able to cross the threshold. "Nike was here. Cardin?" Tom said, by way of explanation. He tried not to see the way Mike had looked at him when he'd caught sight of Tom's clothes. The happiness in his eyes had been too much like those first few days together, when Tom had been wide-eyed with wonder, and Mike had been more than happy to teach him about this strange new life. He'd showered again by that point, changed his clothes once more so that nothing of Alex remained. Tom didn't think Mike would have been quite so happy if he'd known.
"You've been given a suggestion," he said unnecessarily. Joe's face told him that he'd already figured it out.
"Fuck,"
Joe said, trying once more to cross the threshold.
"Also, this is the third floor, so..."
Tom trailed off.
Joe's glare told him that he was being incredibly unhelpful.
"What the fuck is going on?" he asked.
"The best way to make sure something doesn't go missing is to put it away," Tom said simply. "The dandies have brought all their people here until they can figure out who's been killing us off."
"Us?"
Joe said unhappily.
"Us,"
Tom said.
"Being pissed off doesn't change that."
He was proof of it.
"That doesn't mean I'm going to sit here and take it, though,"
Joe said.
"Of course not,"
Tom smiled. He was surprised to find that it was genuine. He liked Joe.
"So, want to tell me exactly what happened? It's not like we have much else to do at the moment. Most of the others left to chase down your lead about Nate. Or Michael."
Tom made a face.
"You never said which one it was."
"I don't know,"
Joe said, before backtracking for a moment.
"They left? You just said they've hidden their people out here. How smart is it to leave them?"
His voice was a little incredulous, but there was something else there, Tom saw. He was wondering how to use it.
"A safe house is safe, Joe," Tom said, choosing to ignore whatever scheme Joe might have been cooking up. "It's also secret."
Was all that Joe said. Tom helped him to the sofa then, letting Joe lie down while he moved one of the overstuffed chairs closer. He fiddled with his tie a little. He supposed he'd just have to get used to it. There was a long, uncomfortable silence as Joe lay quietly and Tom stared at him. For a while, Tom thought Joe had fallen asleep again. He thought briefly about concussions and wondered if he should maybe do something, but he couldn't remember if he were supposed to keep a person awake when they had a concussion or let them sleep. How did you even know if someone had one? In the end, Tom stayed silent. He would have made a terrible doctor. How fucked is it that what pissed me off the most about getting jumped the other night wasn't the beatdown?
Joe murmured.
They said... Christ, how did they say it? I was from out-of-town dandy stock. Tom snorted.
That's pretty fucked up, he said.
I know,
Joe said with a stupid smile.
I know.